I'm gonna call the Public Safety Committee meeting to order. In attendance now are Councilman Powers, Co-Chairman Bell, Councilman Hollins, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Cartier, Councilman Weiner, Councilwoman Diller, and taking the minutes today is Ms. Karen Barlow. What's your pleasure on the minutes?
Motion approved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. The first item, number three, is 16-115, amend the grants budget, appropriate $324,120 from the state of Delaware to the fiscal year 2017 fund combat violent crime. It's under the sponsorship of Co-Chairman Bell and I. Any questions, concerns, comments from members of the council? Councilman Bell?
As per title, Mr. Chairman.
Questions, comments from the public? The next item is 16-116, amend the fiscal year 2017 approved operating budget, increase the authorized position count for the Department of Public Safety by 20 police officer positions in order to accommodate the upcoming 43rd Newcastle County Police Academy. Any questions, concerns by members of council? Councilman Holland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to get some clarity here, and I did speak to the chief just before the meeting began to make certain that this is a temporary increase in authorized strength. And once this academy graduates, I believe the attrition is going to get us back to the current authorized strength. But I want to make certain that this ordinance definitely makes that very clear, so there's no misunderstanding going forward once this class has graduated.
Chief.
Chief Setting, Newcastle County Police. As this council will recall, we had asked for an overhire in the last academy, and we were apprehensive as we stared down some budget concerns, which I respected because we had been given a grant out of Washington, D.C. by the COPS office for the last class of 15 officers, and we did not overhire. In not doing that, as I had predicted, we would have an attrition rate issue, and now we are down over 20 officers, 23 I believe, with three on deck to go, and 56 eligible for retirement as we sit here right now. So based on history, based on our attrition rate and the people that are eligible for retirement at present, you can be almost guaranteed by the time this class graduates, if you start this class on time, if we're successful in filling the chief seats on December 19th, you put the 20 overhire in this class, putting this class at about 42 officers. By the time you graduate, you'll be down that 20. Certainly, if you're not, by the time you go through the 3 months that we're on field training, you will be down that 20. So I'm asking council to use some serious foresight, because we're not effective trying to police 427 square miles, giving police service to 550,000 people, answering 400,000 911 calls a year when we are down 20, 30, 40 officers. As a matter of fact, I would ask this council to remember that the last time attrition impacted this agency at a greater amount, officers were injured at a greater rate, and in fact, we buried one of our comrades.
Chief, let's walk through this quickly, if you can. What's the authorized strength?
400, sir.
And where are we now?
Well, with the pre-hires that we have on board, we're sitting somewhere in the early 390s, but they're all scheduled for the academy. But basically, sworn officers, you're down below 380.
Below what?
You're below 380.
And
377,
sir. 377 sworn. Authorized 400 by this council.
Okay. From my perspective, as one individual council person, I understand the concern raised by Councilman Holland, but quite frankly, we've got shootings all over the county. And if you look at it, they're almost daily. We've got burglaries. And anybody who reads the news reports, we have some serious challenges in their ongoing. So quite frankly, from my end, as one individual councilman, I'd rather see us take this risk and end up a little over than be short at any time. Co-Chairman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Couldn't agree more. And I think that one of the things, and we all recognize it day in and day out with all the departments throughout the county, but especially public safety, is that sustaining an organization, both command-wise, staffing-wise, and service-wise, we have to make decisions along the way. I think that we have, and I said it last night, and without being repetitious, I think that we all know we have an excellent colonel and staffing command structure of our police department. They have developed a future of being able to sustain the organization with leadership. But with that comes sustaining the officer level in order to meet the citizen demand for emergency services. And if we do not do this, in the end of all this, the quality of life safety is affected in this county. We can ill afford to do that. I don't think it's a risk at all. I think that we can look at statistics from the past several years. I think that if all of us had our way, we'd be increasing the numbers of police officers. And I know that maybe we're not there yet financially, but I think the least we can do is to assist and do what we know is right to sustain the level of manpower, womanpower in our organization. Something else that needs to be brought out is federal grants. Our department has done a tremendous job in researching and going after and getting federal monies. And you look at COPS programs, and COPS programs are phased in and phased out. But it has helped us stay alive, okay, literally with having the numbers of officers that we need to maintain our staffing levels. This year, and I think the Colonel will agree, we weren't successful in the COPS grant because there's other agencies, and we've said it a number of times. There are a multitude of public safety police agencies, law enforcement agencies throughout this country and our region, including the city of Wilmington, the city of Camden, other areas that are vying for the same dollars that got them this year, and we didn't. So with that being said, I think that they try to use every avenue to bring additional funding, supportive funding, into the department and help us sustain the level of service, help us provide life safety and for our officers and our citizens. It's a no-brainer for me. I know it's a no-brainer for you, and I really feel it's probably a no-brainer on the part of this council that we need to do something to make sure that we sustain them numbers the best we can.
Okay, I want to recognize the President, Councilman Taggart, and President Nick. Councilman Howell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hope no one, I trust no one feels that this is an indictment of the police department. I just want to make certain that it's clear what this ordinance said is, in fact, what we are doing. I certainly do not want us to be the victim of attrition making our authorized strength any less, but to ask questions is part of what I'm trying to get clarity on, and that's my role here. But certainly, if the police department, which we did authorize the strength, I think about 19 in the last 2 years, and when I saw 20 here, I want to make certain that it is, in fact, temporary. So if council members want to increase the police authorized strength by 50 or 100, then the ordinance should say that. So all I'm looking for here is clarity. So it's no indictment on the chief or any of the officers around this room. I'm not as aware as anyone else of the crime in this county, in this city, as anybody here. So don't assume that I ask a question means simply that somehow I have some issue with the police and the service that they provide. But I also have a responsibility for the budget that we have to approve for this government, the citizens' dollars. And I have to ask the appropriate questions as I did before when we, in fact, authorized the strength. And as a matter of fact, the chief did not get what he first came with when we did the authorization before to upgrade. But when I see 20 police officers and the title says this, I'm going to ask the question to make certain that the title is consistent with what is being proposed here. So if we want to do 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 more officers, bring that legislation forward and go at it. But this is what this says, and I want to make certain that this is what it means.
Councilman Bell.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Just, and a clarification on my point is, I respect everyone's rights on this council and their ability to question or to look into things. That's what we're here for. I'd have made every single comment that I made if your question never was made. So my position is one of what I feel as an individual council person, as a co-chair of public safety, has no relevance to the question that Councilman Hollins asked about the numbers and everything. I think that's a perfectly legitimate question.
Councilman Small.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, I read the ordinance, I went through it as co-chair of finance. It's important for me to know if there's a chance it's going to balance out. Not that if it doesn't, I just like to be prepared to say, and I appreciate the chief being forthright, because all I want to know is, here's what we're looking at. I don't want to hear any complaints from anybody if the chief comes back and says, look, this didn't work out, we need more money. Because I'm going to be prepared to find the money to move it forward. And that's just me doing my due diligence as finance co-chair to be in the wings, being prepared and being ready so we keep our public safety manpower moving forward the way we want it. So I think we're really all on the same,
yep,
same page.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to be completely forthcoming. My number under then County Executive Chris Coons was 500. And if we had the money, I'd be pushing that forward. Second, you know, I took a year off from co-chair of this committee because of the number of police shootings and the number of dog bites. And the straw that broke the camel's back, and they almost happened together, was when we purposely, intentionally let the dog loose on the 15-year-old girl in Dunleavy, and somebody was shot in the back of the head in my council district on Memorial Drive. And so reflecting on that and knowing that as we go forward, if the state and the city are going to be serious about eliminating Murdertown USA, their shootings in my district connected to the city. They're shooting in Sparrow Run, connected to the city. They're shootings in Edgemoor Gardens, connected to the city. And we're going to have to be at full strength, and the city's going to have to ask for help, and at some point we're going to have to provide it. And finally, I have to call Mike Arsenio. You know, the leadership and the change in leadership and the clear effort to improve diversity, I think it's been a major asset in reducing the dog bites, reducing the shootings. And I remember when the brass from the police department came in here and that wall was literally white. So given the progress, given the magnitude of the problems, and given what the challenges I see going forward, I'm going to reiterate, if we end up being a little bit over, then I'm happier to have that than for us to be short on what we have authorized. Chief.
Just want to take a moment to say that I'm very grateful to this council for their support, and I certainly respect the level of accountability that I'm held to, and I expect it. I don't have a scientific answer to exactly how the attrition rate will affect us, but I can use history as a reference, and here we are at 23. Actually, literally, in a week or so, you're going to be at 26 down. We're not even going to be able to fill this academy based on the numbers I'm seeing. The 20 overhire, based on the last attrition rates from the last 4 years that I've been the chief, that should be about dead on. And I just would like to assure council that within the time of that academy and that FTO period, if we're not down 20, I would have to guess on my knowledge, on again using history as a reference, we're going to be really close. I would venture to bet you that we'll still be at an attrition rate. Even if we were able to fill those cheap seats in the academy and get all 20 overhired, we're still going to have an attrition rate. That's my best guess. And I'd like to say that while we're on the topic of use of force, you know, I sit here with this management team. We've had a simple message and mantra to the men and women of this police department in every roll call.
in every detective meeting, in every special operations group, that we are to treat people with dignity and respect at all times when it's humanly possible. I don't ask my officers to put themselves in harm's way. We don't go to work saying, I hope I don't go home today. No, we do. But at the same time, we have to treat people the way they should be treated. And if you don't know if that message has reached the masses, we have 100% reduction in departmental shootings in the last 4 years. That means zero departmental shootings. We have a 40+% reduction in taser deployments, 40% reduction in hands-on altercations between police and our citizens, and certainly of the one dog bite that was in question during my 4 years as chief, that handler and that canine were removed from service. It sends a message of accountability and responsibility, not just to the officers, the rank and file, but our citizens.
Councilman Cordier. We've been fighting the retirement treadmill in your agency since I've been here in 2004, and I know that we made great strides to fill academies and really attack that problem of taking the numbers in the police department down below a safe level. So I'm very comfortable with this, and I know that you're going to have a lot of retirements. If you think about the history of your agency, it grew a lot in the 80s and 90s. Now people are at the end of their careers. And
right.
So we've got a lump of people, just the demographics of it. And I want to make sure your agency is fully staffed and capable. And I do appreciate all the leadership of your team, and you particularly as chief of police. You made a measurable difference in the public safety in my district in your tenure. So thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions, comments from members of council? Councilman.
I just want to comment, you're right, and you touched on that. I hope you can overfill the academy.
We'll be lucky.
Because you're not each time you do it, you're not turning away a bunch of people. And I commend you, no one has ever mentioned trying to lower the standards to fill the academy.
There's been some tweaking in educational requirements for people coming out of military service. Right. We've not lowered our standards, right. And we do turn away hundreds and hundreds of people.
I mean,
for every 20 qualified you see, you'll have my training commander tell you we're turning away 100 people.
And I know the outreach for applicants has grown over the years. I think it's outstanding. And I know, I mean, I sit here before you became chief where I had a situation, did the investigation, and had a guy call me. I won't go into all the allegations that he made about why he didn't get in the academy, but I went and sat down with him, and he told me basically it was nobody's effing business why he lost his last job. I said, well, I'll tell you whose business it is, why you're not getting the next one. And he didn't. So, there are people that we deal with, and hopefully you can overfill. But
that's the prayer here.
We have to look at what comes along. So thank you very much for all you're doing and your staff.
I thank this council.
Any other questions, comments? Questions, comments from the public.
Now, can you take care of that Ellesmere ticket?
Yeah, thank you. 16-120, amendment fiscal 2017 approved operating budget, reduced county executive contingencies by $30,000 to provide funding toward the public safety rewards program grant. Any questions, comments from council? I guess nobody's worrying about him reducing this contingency. Questions or concerns from the public? 16-121, amend grants budget, appropriate $30,000 from the county executive contingency to the public safety rewards program grant to be administered by the Department of Public Safety. Questions, concerns, comments from members of council? Councilman Howell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this identical?
Yeah.
Is there a reason why?
Ed, it's a matching. We're taking the money out of the operating budget and putting it in the grant, so that money doesn't lapse at the end of the year. It's similar to what we do with community services, where we take money out of the operating budget and putting it in the grant. So.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, okay.
120 takes the money out of your operation budget. 121 sets it up in a grant.
Right. See it. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Questions, concerns, and any other members of council? Questions, concerns, any members of the public? Comments?
update the new 911 telephone system, status of texting the 911, the status of 911 calls. Chief Miller.
Afternoon, Council. Thank you. Jeff Miller, Chief of Communications. Public Safety Director wanted me to update you in reference to our telephone system that was upgraded in June. It gives us remarkable capabilities. It also gives us remarkable report capabilities that we didn't have before. But the one thing it is going to drive us into, and I did tell you this several months ago, it will put us in the text messaging business. I didn't know for sure then when we would be in the text messaging business, but it appears that it's going to come sooner than later, because every carrier has worked diligently with us over the last 2 months doing testing throughout Newcastle County, and it actually does work very well. The only hitch to launching text messaging is the state wants to do it in a statewide basis, so that we're not being hindered. You drive over Kent County line, you don't get text messaging. So we're not exactly sure when the rest of the state will be done being tested first, nor when their call takers will be trained and ready to operate to using text messages. But so the update is, I would say if we don't see it by the end of December, we will probably see it within the first quarter of next year for sure. With that, I told you that the phone system gave us some really good capabilities for running data, and we have ways of changing the way we answer the phone as well. So I'll give you a comparison of 911 telephone calls. July of 15 through the month of September of 15, we had 100,659 911 phone calls. Of that, the number of calls that were answered, we try to answer all of our calls in 2 seconds or less 90% of the time. We were only doing that 74% of the time, 10 seconds or less. We were answering within 30 seconds 94% of the time. Now with the new phone system, the call operators no longer have to lean forward to push a button or click a mouse. When the phone call comes into the automatic call distributor, it lands in their ear and they just hear their recorded voice going out to the public. And since we turned that on in June, I'll give you the exact same numbers from July to September. For this year, we handled 16,000 more calls in the same 3 month period, and we accomplished 83% of the time in 10 seconds or less. And in 20 seconds or less, we're doing it 94. So once I get my staffing up in the call taker section, like the colonel through attrition, I feel quite confident we will hit that 10 seconds or less 90% of the time. Between technology and just having the right number of people.
Questions or comments? Councilman Powell.
I, just because I experienced it myself, I have a lot of my district, especially on the east and west side. And that's why maybe text messaging might work. But I made a call about a suspicious person. I'm up to Kent County, Maryland, got thrown to Cecil County. Cecil County threw me to Newcastle because of state police jurisdiction. I got thrown over to them. No.
Oh, okay.
Got thrown into them, then they throwed me again. My constituents are like, screw this shit. I mean, it's there's two things, and I didn't want to say just on that, is on policing. This jurisdictional, Senator Ennis and I both want it to go. Whoever's the closest got to respond. I got a real problem down there. And I guess I want to start having to bring it up just like Jay, that we have a problem in Southern Newcastle County. Can't even make a police call. I mean, 911 and it goes every state. But so, on the east side, it's going to New Jersey.
So when they made the original transition between Troop 3 and Troop 9, you would be in Newcastle County calling, and we would transfer you down to Kent County. But because of the new computer-aided dispatch system that we had, we actually take the phone call and we put it in the computer.
I know you did.
But it still lands down there in Kent County so that they can respond.
Well, no, they sent me to two different places.
Right,
I got more
that.
Of a problem with the state police.
Right.
And you can't tell me it's not happening because it's happened more than once to me.
Well, I understand that when someone in Salem County picks up a cell phone call from Newcastle County, Delaware, they might not know where a certain street is, and you end up in the wrong 911.
But I'm telling you, I'm probably 3 miles from Cecil County. I was probably a mile from Kent, and they jumped to Cecil County. I mean, there's some real problems in southern Newcastle County trying to make a 911 call.
It's probably, I'm going to go with not enough towers and not enough dedicated lines for 911 on the towers that are there.
I understand that, but what the real problem comes to is, and we changed one time the cell and the combine burned up on the FEMA. There were three of them, one was heading to Newcastle. We now have it going to Kent because the fire districts come all the way up to Helens. Sausage. So why even get it to us to go to where whoever's going to respond to it? But I was just trying to get in a suspicious person because he was sitting somewhere in some older lady's house. I mean, no wonder people are disgusted and just hang up. I mean, I was about to, I just wanted to see how long it's going to take to go through. Because if it was any other time, I'm like, the hell with it.
Again, Jeff Miller, Chief of Communications. So 75% of our business is cellular, and we take it very seriously because we transfer to Salem, Delaware County. We've transferred as far as Prince George's County, which is absolutely ridiculous. But that falls on the cellular carrier there
for the infrastructure. And the problem comes is it's not monitored by the Public Service Commission, and it's through the FCC, and they really don't give a shit.
Correct.
I'm going to go to Co-Chairman Bell and come back to President Nagel.
And I was just going to make the point that, you know, we all look at the number of cell towers today, and you kind of think that, you know, there's a lot out there. Well, there are a lot that you see, but when you start to get into refining, being able to directionalize 911 to the proper center, there definitely has to be more sites, more receivers, because what's happened, and I'm going back to when I was the Chief of Communications, is that depending on weather conditions, depending on where you're located, if you go into a certain cell site, you may very well end up across the state into another state or another jurisdiction. And that's why I think there's a tremendous cooperative type system in place trying to work together and transfer calls. It's not the best system in the world, far from it. But what happens is, you know, we'll get folks that'll be on the Delamore Bridge and call 911. They go to Gloucester County, New Jersey. They'll go to Philadelphia because, and like I say, it could be crystal clear weather conditions, could be cloud cover, whatever. So, you know, as more cell sites get put in place, you may be able to more directionalize the signal to the proper center. And we get default calls in the center that are coming from out of state on the first call. So it is a problem. The jurisdictional thing, I think that's all. That's an issue that, you know, Bill's brought up before, and I understand his concern and everything. But from the 911 technology side, you know, when you look at 75% of those calls, and we have no control over the technology and the tower sites and everything. So it's something we just got to try to do the best we can do to get it to the right place.
Mm-hmm. President Nagel.
Yes. Board, as Councilman Powers brings up a very important point, and what I'm hearing, we're guessing, it sounds like to me, about what's happening. Can we get to the bottom of it exactly why? Can we bring someone in or two people from, you know, someone from the cell towers or whatever to explain to us why this is happening, how it is happening, and how we fix it? What is the long-term fix, the short-term fix?
I can ask the cell providers to provide me with coverage areas. We do that all the time, so we can get that information from them.
I know part of the problem is you got to be within, and up here, you all don't want cell towers, but you got to be within 5 miles of a cell tower. And when the leaves get on the trees, it's even less. So. I guess partly, again, I have a lot that are over 5 miles and they don't have the population. And what, through the stimulus money, he's trying to get the cellular companies. They could have got them for free, but they didn't want to do the paperwork in southern Newcastle County. So they didn't take them. Well, now when you go and you call Senator Coons' office, and he said, well, this, you know, they don't want to spend the money because the population's not there. They could have had it in a rural area. Text messaging, what I really wanted to say would be better, because then, but we need to educate the people, especially in my district, to text you. Because then I know, yeah.
You can't call text.
But I'm under, that would work a lot better than me having to go through four different places to get a phone call to where it's got to go.
Agreed.
Well, I'm hoping we can look to get, bring the resources in, because you certainly can't have two council people acting like me, so. Let's try to get this resolved.
Maybe coordinate dates.
That's right. Weeks.
And the other is, you know, folks can fool around and play, but there's still old school folks out here, and I can hear the old man saying now, such I've caught breaking in my house and broke in here. I got 12 gauges on him. Y'all better get here in 5 minutes or call the undertaker. Don't make me no difference. So. You know, if we want to solve problems, eliminate problems, we have to get this fixed.
I understand. A law and order, they catch a long time because of the talent.
Right.
Yeah. Any other questions, concerns? I'm sorry, Councilman Cartier.
Just for clarification, so a text message will go directly to the 911 center?
No, it's still got to go through the cell carrier. It's got to get through the tower system.
But you'll have a phone number that'll go directly.
We'll be able to communicate back.
And where would it? Where would the text be received? At 911?
Right at the 911 call operators. Same computer they use to process the phone call.
Okay.
Co-Chairman Bell.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. You know, I think a point of information today is that, you know, Chief Miller comes in and periodically gives us updates, and I think that, much like our whole Department of Public Safety, but especially our police department, I think that, you know, the 911 center, there's been a lot of things that this chief in particular, his staff, has done in our 911 center that leaps and bounds are above other centers in this country. And when you look and listen to the answer time, as far as the automatic call distribution, there's a lot of centers that had it set up the way we used to have it set up, where, you know, it's going around and the call operator, when they get ready to answer it, you know, presses the button and answers it. I think with the automatic call distribution system, with it already going to the first available call operator, and you look at that in itself as an improvement statistic-wise, service-wise, and then some of the things we're doing with the text technology and different apps and things like that, it goes back to training, vision, and I think being proactive. And I think our 911 center is right on the cutting edge all the time. So,
Chief?
Very similar to what the Colonel said. You know, I have to thank you and our administration for all the support that we've had along the way, because it truly would not be the same situation. So I appreciate that.
And I would just encourage any members of council who have not gone in and actually visited the center in operation to do so, because for me, going in that morning with Director Bryant and seeing it in operation is much different than hearing about it. So,
you're all welcome anytime.
Anything else? Okay. The last item on the agenda, except for other, is the presentation on the Next Door program.
Good afternoon, Council. My presentation won't be long, and it's mostly just going to cover a few things about Next Door and how public agencies utilize it. A lot of people want to know, what is Next Door? It's a free social networking site that neighbors use, or that neighborhoods use. It's not so much like Facebook or Instagram or any of those. You actually have to live in a particular neighborhood, and you're verified through the system and as well as through your neighbors, and that's how you're able to use the program. You're, as a Next Door member, you're able to communicate with other members in your community. What it allows Newcastle County to do, or a public agency to do is kind of like drop a line in a particular neighborhood or neighborhoods. We can do more than one, and I'll go into that a little bit later on. But it allows neighbors to find out information about a babysitter, someone if they can recommend for lawn care or any other products. So far we have 19,935 members, and that's grown since I was here last time just to briefly discuss it. We have 294 neighborhoods that are currently using it, 46 are kind of just testing it out, and then there are 61 neighborhoods that aren't using it yet. We've worked with our community services unit. Sergeant Reynolds will have access to all of the districts, all of the neighborhoods, and then it breaks down per district. So we say District 1, which is the Northern District, which will be Corporal Hester. And most people already have a relationship with her. Same with Officer Sorrells, and we now have a new West Side District, Officer Stearns. District 3, which is our Central, will be Master Corporal Gelati and Officer Pierce, and that's 31, 32, 33, and 34 sector. And then Master Corporal Gelati also has below the canal, sir. So, and he will, each one of these officers will do just like I did when I first introduced myself to Next Door, and they've already done it. Each officer has gone in and introduced themselves to their particular neighborhood or their district. We reach actual neighbors or residents. And like I said earlier, all the members or residents are verified residents of their communities. We can send out target messages, and I've done that as well, and we'll officially launch that on Thursday. But I can send messages directly to a particular neighborhood, and I did it last week with the car break-ins in Jarrell Farms, North Star, yes, and Knob Hill. Not everyone is part of it, and so I'll try and click on, which I'll show you also, but I'm able to click on a particular neighborhood and try to get as many people as possible. I can do an entire service area, I can do all of District 1 or all of District 2, or I can do an entire community, which will be sent out to all 19,000 plus people. It really allows us to get the message. I'm able to communicate directly with members of or with residents, and they will inbox me or they'll send messages almost like Facebook in a post. Anything that's more direct, I'm able to see. The first time I sent out a launch, I had 200 some odd emails. I'm not able to look and say thank you to each and every person, but I am able to reply. We have our own private interface. And it's just for Newcastle County. If Prince George's County in Maryland, they also have Nextdoor, and they have their own personal interface. So residents can see that we post into Nextdoor, but they can't see that any other agency, because it's only our jurisdiction. I already said that they reply to any of our posts, our messages, and it is just directly to us and everyone that's in Nextdoor. So that's myself, my partner, Officer Pizer, and then the community services officers, they're able to see any and all of those messages. We can send out urgent alerts or emails. And again, so if there's ever any type of natural disaster, we're able to put something out quickly. We used this when we did our Coffee with a Cop, and so we polled a number of the people that came to Coffee with a Cop on the 7th of October. And most of them found out through Nextdoor. Now, we also put it on social media, so we put it on Facebook, we put it on Twitter, but most people found out through Nextdoor. Anytime that there's a tat or a riff in Nextdoor, we don't see that. We as law enforcement, we don't see it. So anytime there's neighbors that are going back and forth about, you know, so-and-so didn't cut their grass, they really need to cut their grass, whatever neighborhood type disputes that occur, we don't see them. We don't have the ability to see that. But now what the residents can do, and which is how we educate them, is they can call us. Don't send us messages. Call us if you want to report a harassment or something. That way our community services officers or any other officer can come out and we can kind of eliminate that right then and there. Every officer that's in that district, they have their own profile. This happens to be my profile. I didn't want to kind of put anyone else out. But all my information is up there. My email address, my telephone number, which when we sent out our news releases, people had that contact information anyway. This is what the map looks like. This is what the interface looks like when I log in. Everything up here in yellow are all of our neighborhoods. And if I zoom in, I can, like I said, I can click on any particular neighborhood, which should be the next one. And so someone said Brookside. So I clicked on Brookside, and this is all of Brookside that comes up. Those in green, Todd Estates, Chestnut Hill Estates, Breezewood, they're also part of Nextdoor. And so if I click on them, they will also highlight, yellow, and I can send them a message as well. And or I can find out how many people are in there. And that's it. Yes, sir.
Councilman Powers.
I live south of the canal, as my wife would say. You can't live on here.
My apologies.
I don't live there. But your map and what it shows is subdivisions and the next one. And see, what you covered up pretty much a lot of my district, and a lot of it's rural.
Yes, sir.
And I know there's probably one, because I've had a lot of community members, how do they do a neighborhood watch? It's in a rural area. It's not the same, because you put Brookside, I'm talking miles, probably most of their districts together.
Yes, sir.
But there's people wanting something, and we're really not getting it from the state police. I think I said yesterday, it's just getting too old. And I think Bill Zane and I met with the state public safety director, and I think it's more them not wanting to get rid of it. And I've got a problem. We've got 33 burglaries in state police jurisdiction in the same area. I only got two in county police. I think I want county police instead of state police. How would that work in a, it should work in a rural area.
Yes, sir. So, we can't really see it, but even that small section there is considered a neighborhood, and I know that it's not.
I got Nautical Cove, which isn't a lot. I've got, when you get down, it's Wolf Cove. There's only 12 houses. That's your jurisdiction. The roads all around it are state police.
All it needs is a community, sir.
My community, the people that are really involved, they're not living in subdivisions.
And from my understanding, they don't have to. All you need is one person to be the lead and verify others that
I'll have somebody get up.
I'm sorry?
I'll have somebody get up.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions? Comments from council members? For the record, that was Major Corporal Duffy made the presentation.
Corporal, sir.
McMaster. Any other comments or questions? Does anybody have anything under other? Co-Chairman Bell.
I'll make it brief. Last evening, six of the 13 council were reelected and sworn in. And I think when you looked, and I heard what Councilman Smiley said about the entire county workforce and how important they are, but from my vision, when you looked out in the crowd and you saw this entire staff in command and communications, EMS, the class of paramedics, talk about impressive. To have them come in and witness government, their government, and to have the support of our public safety department like we had last night is reassuring, I think, to all of us that we're doing the right thing.
And my grandson was just all that with the horses outside before he came in, so.
Plus, my grandson got a coin from the colonel today to add to his coin collection, so. But kudos to the staff in command. We sincerely appreciate you being here for us.
I'm sorry, my family members you had the warrants for weren't there.
With that, Council Smiles.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Goodbye.
They weren't there.
They're already inside.